believe it or not, there are some democracies where, unlike the UK and indeed Australia, the leader of the country is directly elected by the voters. And one of them is Colombia, which today holds a presidential runoff in an election that The Economist says is perhaps the most polarised choice of any election in the world in recent memory. Current President Gustavo Petro can't run again, as there's a one-term limit in Colombia. So Senator Ivan Cepeda, who's a human rights advocate and philosopher, is the candidate for the ruling leftist Pacto Histórico coalition. His opponent, Abelardo de la Espriella, is a populist, hard-right criminal defence lawyer who dubs himself El Tigre, or the Tiger, and he has been endorsed by President Trump. So what is the likely outcome of this election in Latin America? We're joined now by Laura Lizarazo, Associate Director for the Andean region at the Control Risks Global Risk Consultancy. Welcome to Sunday Extra, Laura.
Good morning, Julian. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. So on the eve of this presidential election runoff, who looks like the front runner?
Probably Mr. De La Espriella. He performed really well in the first voting round, and he has managed to gain traction over the past 3 weeks with an effective digital campaign and effective messages to voters.
That's interesting. So, because he didn't come first in the first round runoff, but he seems to have brought together the other participants in the first round, and therefore leapfrogged the party, the candidate for Pacto Histórico. Is that the way it looks?
Yes, he came first in the first voting round, and that was quite a surprise for this presidential race. No, the polls never put him as the front runner, and that surprised most voters, including the left-wing candidate Iván Cepeda. And Iván Cepeda and the ruling Pacto Histórico have quite a challenging task to attract those voters who did not come to the polls in the first round and to convince those voters who voted for other moderate candidates that did not make it to the runoff.
I see, yes. Mr. De La Espriella does certainly seem like a fascinating insurgent figure in this political race. He doesn't have political experience, and he's a pretty flamboyant and controversial figure. Could you give us a bit of a background about him and how he came into Colombian politics, please?
Yes, of course. As you well said, he is a criminal lawyer. He's a businessman and an influencer who has no background in public service, no political track record, and no support from traditional party structures. He became prominent over the past year and a half due to his intense digital media presence and due to his strong opposition and criticism on Gustavo Petro's government and on his flagship policy, the Total Peace Initiative. And he has gained popularity among conservative voters who have a growing anti-establishment sentiment and who strongly reject long-standing calls for political openness, peace negotiations, and wealth redistribution.
As I said in the introduction, The Economist has described this as perhaps the most polarised choice of any election in the world in recent memory, which is really saying something when you think about some of the polarised choices in recent memory. So what is it about this particular election campaign that makes it so polarised, Lara?
Well, I think that these levels of polarization are not new in Colombia. I think that over the past decade, Colombians have been split into two antagonistic blocks that seem to have no willingness to moderate their positions and to establish consensus-seeking pathways to address Colombia's problems. And that fragmentation is given or has emerged due to the final peace agreement that the government signed with the FARC guerrilla in 2016. Since then, the country has been very divided regarding how the state should address main public main concerns of the public, and that polarization has grown and intensified over the past decade, and is also causing this level of fragmentation in these presidential elections.
So you mentioned the current president, Gustavo Petro's total peace policy. Could you describe for us what that total peace policy is?
It is one of his flagship goals, policy goals, and it's more a political goal than a well-structured state policy or state strategy. It aims to negotiate peace with a very different and wide range of non-state armed groups at the same time. And this with the objective to reach their disarmament and their dismantlement, and in order to achieve lasting peace. But this policy has not, has failed to deliver that sustainable results on that front, and has faced significant institutional gaps, and it has been quite an improvised policy initiative rather than a well-structured strategy.
So in terms of the peace process itself, is it the case that the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, have been increasing their membership, and that there has been increased violence, and has violence in the peace process been the central issue of the election campaign in your view?
Well, the FARC partially dismantled in 2016 as a result of the peace agreement that was signed that year with the government. But there is a segment of that guerrilla that did not agree to deploy their arms, and who continued fighting in rural areas and continued exploiting illicit economies such as coca growing, cocaine production, extortion, illegal mining. And those splinter factions have grown over the past decade. And that expansion has intensified during Gustavo Petro's Total Peace initiative, which opened some windows of opportunity for the expansion of non-state armed groups as the armed forces refrain from openly, actively combating threat actors. So yes, this expansion is a central concern for most Colombians, notably in those conflict-ridden regions of the country where there are active confrontations among these groups and rival organizations. Violence now is driven by a growing competition between criminal actors rather than a state offensive against these groups. And this is certainly one of the main concerns for Colombians in this election.
On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Laura Lizarazo, the Associate Director for the Andean Region at Control Risks Global Risk Consultancy, about the presidential runoff election in Colombia today. Laura, let's look now at the candidate for the incumbent party, Iván Cepeda. He is in an unusual position of being the incumbent party, but with a president who's leaving after one term. At least from Australian perspective, a one-term term limit seems unusual. What are the political complications that poses for Iván Cepeda? Is he essentially a continuity candidate, or is he in some ways distancing himself from the Petro administration?
As you well said, he's in a complex position because his political leverage and political capital are highly dependent on Petro's figure and Petro's legacy. But he also has the challenge to appeal to those voters who are disenchanted and disappointed on Petro's government performance on several fronts, including security and macroeconomic policies. And he has somehow distanced himself from some of the most controversial ambitions of Petro, including his intent to overhaul the constitution by convening a constituent assembly. And he has also pledged to review, to revise and redress the gaps and failures of the total peace policy, something that President Petro had a hard time accepting during his term. So yes, he's certainly in a complex position, and he's trying to balance those two factors that condition his chances to win the presidency.
When I was describing his background, I described him as a philosopher, which is not the usual thing that you list in the CV of a candidate for a presidency. Could you give us a little bit more detail about the personal background and history of Ivan Cepeda?
Yes, he was born and raised until his early years in Bogota. He is the son of a political left-wing political figure who was assassinated by right-wing paramilitary forces in that worked with state agents in the 90s. And he went into exile in Cuba, France, and lived some of his earlier adulthood years abroad. As a victim of a state crime, he has dedicated his political career to defending the victims of state crimes. He has dedicated his life to human rights advocacies, and he is also a lawmaker, a quite prominent one, who has exercised a political control role in Congress. And he also was an active part in the peace negotiation process with the FARC that started in 2012 and that ultimately ended with this guerrilla's disarmament in 2016.
So he does seem to be struggling, though, against Mr. De La Espriella, who's notoriously taking sort of tough stances. What sort of policy changes does Mr. De La Espriella signal in his campaign, and exactly how does he earn the reputation of being the Tigre?
Well, he is basing his promises on a clear intent to reverse the policies of this first left-wing government in Colombia, including the total peace policy as his main objective. He will end all peace negotiations with armed groups, and instead he will start a 90-day aggressive offensive operation against these groups nationwide. That is one of his flagship campaign promises. He has also pledged to reestablish or restore the traditionally positive relationship and communication with the United States. And he has promised to reestablish a strategic cooperation relationship with the U.S. and Israel to fight armed groups and criminal organizations. Also, he has promised to end some of the state's bureaucracy, to shrink the state by 40%, and to reestablish fiscal responsibility and fiscal discipline by cutting state expenditures.
It sounds like a pretty radical agenda, but it's one that's attracted the direct endorsement of President Donald Trump. How has the commentary coming from the White House affected the domestic campaign in Colombia, Lara?
Well, I think it has not played a significant role so far, at least to convince those voters who have not made up their mind regarding which candidate to support. But it may have given had a symbolic importance for those voters who deem the United States as a key indispensable partner for Colombia to end violence and drug trafficking.
So it does seem like the election is heading in the direction of Mr. De La Espriella. Is that your prediction, Lara? He'll be the next president of Colombia?
Well, that so far is our prediction, yes. But this is a very tight, very contested and polarized presidential race. People feel that there is too much at stake with this election. So there are strong feelings involved for many voters. And I think that the two candidates being at the same time relatively popular, but also highly rejected by strong segments of the population, I think the least rejected candidate will win. According to polls, that candidate seems to be Abelardo de la Espriella, as Iván Cepeda is very deeply rejected by people who answered, at least people who answered these polls over the past 2 months.
Yeah, it's so often the case. It's not so much a popularity contest as a less unpopularity contest, but we will watch this space to see how the election turns out. Lara Lizarazo, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning to preview a critical election.
Thank you very much, Julian, for having me, and have a nice day.
And you too. That's Lara Lizarazo, who is the Associate Director for the Andean region of the consultancy Control Risks Global Risk Analysis. And on Sunday Extra, it is 29 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.